As promised, we are joined now by the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He's in his first season as manager of the Phillies. They're 24-16. They're one game out of first in the NL East. They're at St. Louis tonight. That is a 7:15 Eastern start. We are joined by Gabe Kapler. Gabe, it is so good to have you on the program. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing great. So nice to talk to you. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, Gabe, and I know you're joining me from the dugout in Busch, which I really appreciate. Let me ask you about last night's game first. Gabe, you're coming off a 4-1 win over the Orioles, where your starter, Nick Pivetta, went 7. He allowed 2 hits. He had a career-high 11 strikeouts. What do you make of the performance that you got from him last night?
Jim, good pitchers make adjustments, in my mind, and Nick, from spring training through today, has made a ton of them. He's utilizing his breaking balls really effectively, and they've been nasty. He's got 2 of them. He's got a curveball and a slider, and both of them have been really effective. He's using an explosive fastball at the top and the bottom of the zone that he's throwing for strikes, and that's what he's been working on since spring training, kind of working with a north-south attack, essentially top of the zone to bottom of the zone, doing a really good job. He's right where he needs to be.
And he's just 25, so I know the future is very bright for him, and I know you've got high expectations for it. You know, Gabe, that win took the team to 8 games over 500. It's the first time since 2011. I know it's your first season. I know you can't speak to what happened before you got there, but when you're coming into a situation where a team has suffered a lot of losses, how valuable is it to get off to a start like this?
It's huge. It's huge. And with that, the character of the club begins to emerge. So what I've noticed about our men recently is we're focused. And our staff and our players, they prepare like animals, but they also know how to keep it light and be themselves. So in the dugout, they're smiling and laughing. In the clubhouse, after games, they know how to celebrate. They know how to turn the page. That's critical. They come back to the ballpark the next day after a loss, act like it didn't happen, enjoy being around each other. So those things that I just mentioned, some of that character plus talent, and obviously you can't do anything without talent, equal a pretty good start for us. Really proud of the guys.
Right. Character plus talent may equal culture, which we'll get to in a minute. Gabe Kapler, my guest. Now, coming into the season, the sense outside the organization, Gabe, was that you were building something and it was going to turn around. But I'm not sure how many people outside that clubhouse expected you to be 8 games over 500, just 40 games in. But you believe the team was ready to take a big step. What did you see that made you feel that way?
So, first of all, keep things in perspective, right? We're kind of at the quarter point of the season. So we understand that we have a long way to go. We never lose sight of the fact that, you know, we are only just beginning. But what we've seen so far, to answer your question directly, is we've seen a good offense, and it's the kind of offense that grinds the opposition down and can do damage. See a lot of pitches, and then we force pitchers to put the ball in the zone. When they do put the ball in the zone, we slug mistakes. We have some mix-and-match weapons in the bullpen, and as you mentioned at the top with Nick, we have some horses at the top of our rotation between Knowles, and Arrieta, and I'm speaking to Aaron Nola, Jake Arrieta, and then Nick Pivetta, with a couple of guys who, if they continue to develop, and Vince Velasquez, who goes tonight, and Zach Eflin, we've got a pretty good team top to bottom. So I think the start is just indicative that we have good talent.
Phillies manager Gabe Kapler, my guest. Now, Gabe, you and I have spoken a lot over the years, and it's very clear that you have a strong philosophy and an approach in the way you go about things. Now, there were some questions about, or some questions from the outside, about the moves and decisions you made early on. How did you go about dealing with that and continuing to trust your own process?
That's a really good question, because I do think it's a balance between trusting the process and being responsive to the environment. So the first thing I did is I kind of listened to the voices. Listen to the people that were questioning some of the ways we were making moves in game, and I was responsive to it, right? Like I listened to it, I allowed it to soak in, and I just used it as a way to challenge myself to get better and to be more prepared. At the same time, the approach that we're taking is not that different, right? Like there are a lot of managers who are matching up with their best relievers in the highest leverage situations, by way of example. I'm really not that much different from these other managers. Played baseball my whole life, been in major league dugouts for a long time as a player, minor league dugouts as a manager and as a farm director. I feel most comfortable in a baseball uniform, and I share a lot in common with what the other managers around the game are doing. It's just kind of, for whatever reason, identified as I'm doing things a whole lot differently with in-game strategy, and I don't really think that that's all that accurate, Jim.
You know, Gabe, one more point that I'd make. I mean, let's be honest. You were a 57th round pick in the MLB draft. You're the only 57th round pick to reach the majors, so you're not afraid of adversity. I knew you would stay the course. However, a number of the vets on the team said that they really liked the way you handled that. Carlos Santana said, quote, "We have his back. We had his back then, but we really have it now. He's a guy you want to play for. He's a guy you want to win for. So, Gabe, I bring that up because I knew you'd stay the course, but how much does it mean to you to have that kind of relationship with the players, especially your vets?
I don't think there's anything more important, and I'm really glad that you presented it the way you did. Obviously, that's a huge compliment to hear those things that Santana was saying, and I don't take it lightly. I think one of the reasons we're able to develop those relationships is by staying committed to them and having conversations even when they're not comfortable. So by way of example, with Santana, there are days that I want to give him a day off. And you know what he says? He says, I don't want a day off. I want to play 162 games. So we don't just leave it at that. We have a discussion one day, and then we have it the next time I want to give him a day off. And I think that open line of communication, an office that is always open to having healthy, direct, honest conversations, creates those long-term relationships where we want to fight for each other, Jim. For me, it's kind of simple. It does take a lot of work, and you mentioned the word process. You have to be committed to it every day, but I do think it's valuable.
We're talking to Gabe Kapler. You know, Gabe, one of the topics that keeps coming up when I talk with managers who are having a lot of success right now is the relationship they have with their players, making sure that there is an environment for communication. You just said so yourself. To that point, you want to make sure that your office in Clearwater was a place where guys would hang out. Why is it something that you wanted to invest time and effort into, and why is that so important?
That's great. Well, so not just the office in Clearwater, but also the office in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I remember walking into a manager's office and it kind of feeling a bit like a principal's office, right? Where there's like the big mahogany desk, this figure behind it that's kind of, authoritative. And I think a manager's office should be the opposite of a principal's office. When a player thinks about the office, I want him to think of it as a place where good news is shared and where positive conversations are had. And so that's how we focus. We focus on that in the office in Philadelphia, in Clearwater, in our clubhouse space. We want it to be a positive environment.
Gabe Kapler joining us. Gabe, you had a great quote when you told Sports Illustrated, I'm not a golfer, I don't fish, I don't even watch TV. You give me a block of 2 hours, I want to sit down and drink coffee and scour information just because I'm interested in it. This is my happy fun time, end quote. I mean, I love that. What are some of the things that you like to research, and then how do you apply that knowledge to your life and to your work?
That's awesome. My mom always asks me, she always asks me as a manager, she says, are you having fun? And the word fun is just kind of, it's just a weird word for me. I enjoy myself, but it's not like the roller coaster kind of fun, like, I don't know, jumping out of an airplane, whatever you classify as fun. I like to go to a coffee shop or a really nice restaurant. I like to pull out my iPad, and I like to research articles on fitness or health or, you know, optimize for being just better at life in general. But then the other part of my time is usually scouring internet stuff like Fangraphs or some of the things that you're saying or things that other reporters are saying. I just want to learn as much as I can. I guess I'm just curious in general.
Yeah, speaking of fitness, I'm glad you brought that up, but I was going to get there anyway. I mean, being a manager is more than a full-time job. It would be easy to let other parts of your life slip, such as your own health and fitness, but you've been staying on that. Why is that so important?
Well, first of all, I got to be open. It's suffering, right? Like, the workouts, I'm still getting them in, but they're turning into these multitasking sessions where I'm listening to a rehab start. Like, by way of example, before I came in the dugout to talk to you, I was in our weight room here in St. Louis, and I had my earbuds in, and I was listening to Victor Arano's rehab outing in Lehigh Valley in AAA because I wanted to be aware of what was going on with him. So it's not like when I was, 28 and got to just have the workouts to myself. I will say this. If you want your players to be healthy and strong and think about things like nutrition and think about things like training, you have to kind of walk the walk. So I'm not perfect by any stretch. It's not as good as it once was in terms of my diligence in the weight room with my sprints and my exercise regimen. But I do feel it's important to walk that walk.
You know, obviously, Gabe, you've got the benefit of being with a team, so they're going to look out for the players and for their staff. What about nutrition? How do you eat now compared to when you became a manager?
I'm eating less. I guess more than anything else, so a couple times a day. And that's, first of all, to be efficient, but also because I'm just a little bit hungry less and I can find the two meals satisfy me. But we haven't made many changes to the food in the clubhouse in Philadelphia. In fact, I came into a really good food culture that was already thriving. And so we have this incredible chef. We have an incredible nutritionist. The food in the clubhouse is outstanding. And more than anything else, I've just acted as a support system and endorser of healthy food in our environment.
A food culture. I love that. I need to improve my own food culture. One last thought. When you were playing, and because you're approaching this, you know, you might say I'm not coming at it so differently, but I think you are coming at it with a certain kind of energy that I haven't seen before. When you were playing, who were some of the managers who had the biggest impact on you?
I think Johnny Oates was a big impact because he was so calm and cool. I just never saw him lose control in the dugout or in the clubhouse. Never even heard him raise his voice. He's very encouraging. Joe Maddon comes to mind absolutely as a guy that knew how to make players feel like $1 million, like the best version of themselves. And I wasn't a very good player, Jim, but every time I was in Joe Maddon's presence, I felt like I was a good player, and that was important to me. Tito Francona always had a real strong demeanor. I always looked down from one end of the dugout at him, and he was always smiling. I guess all of my managers had important influences on me. And one of my minor league managers, his name was Dwight Lowry, had a strong, charismatic presence as well that to this day I remember as having a big impact.
Philadelphia playing really good baseball right now. They're 24-16. They're only a game out of first in the East, and they've got a game tonight against St. Louis. Gabe Kapler already there in the dugout and joining us here in the jungle. Gabe, I really appreciate you. Man, awesome to get caught up. Thanks so much for doing that, Gabe, and great to hear your voice.
Jim, good getting caught up with you. Great to hear your voice as well. Stay strong out there, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Gabe. Take care. Good job. Skip, Gabe Kapler. You remember that early this season when people were looking at him saying, why is he doing that? What's going on there? And he had a process. He stayed the course. And look at him right now. They're playing great baseball. And his vets are saying, oh, we've got his back. We definitely have his back. We love playing for him. And not only love playing for him, but we want to win for him. And does that make a great manager? When a manager can get the very most out of his players and guys want to win, not just for themselves, but for the guy they're playing for the guy that fills out the lineup card. I think that's kind of rare. Gabe Kapler joining us here in the jungle. All right, Philly fans, what do you make of what you've seen from him right now, and what do you think of the way your team is playing? 8 games over 500, 40 games in. You can't tell me you saw that coming.